All right, again, thank you for being here for the Sunday School Hour this morning. And we are in Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. Pray for Brother Grimes and Mrs. Grimes, both down at God's Word Baptist Church and filling in for Brother Stewart again. Continue to pray for Brother Stewart if you could. Ken Stewart. His health is up in the air. Now they're not even sure what's wrong and what's going on. And I'm sure for him, maybe he's probably on top of it more than I am. But at this point, I'd be discouraged. I'd be discouraged and I'd say, Lord, help me out here. Give me a doctor with some wisdom so they can figure out what's going on and get me back in the pulpit. At least get me upright. I'd take upright. You pray for him. Pray for their church, and this is not an indictment on Christians, but often when the shepherd's down for a while, the sheep get skittish, and they start to wonder what's going on, and what's really happening, and what's the Lord doing, and trying to figure it all out. And just pray that the Lord just gives their church a peace and a calm, and they can band together as a church, and rally around their pastor and care for him. So I believe they will, but that doesn't always happen. It doesn't always happen. So you just pray for their church, if you would, God's Word Baptist Church down in Ridgeview, and you continue to pray for them if you would. But all right, Philippians chapter number 3. Let's go ahead and read in verse number 9. Verse 8, Paul says that I may win Christ, verse number 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Last week we talked about forgetting some things, putting some things behind us in order to be able to go forward, and putting behind us some past failures for the Lord. And if you've been trying to serve the Lord in any length of time, if you've been trying to please Him with your life, you've not always succeeded. There's been some failures. There's been some times you let the Lord down, and you let God down with a decision that you made or some decisions that you've made. And sometimes one thing snowballs into another, and you find out, where am I? How have I gotten to where I am, where I used to be here? You know, there's a lot of I used to be Christians. There's a lot of them. We used to be this, and we used to do that, and we used to do this other thing, and we used to be this, and we used to do this, and boy, we were involved in that other thing, and now they're not. And now they're not. It doesn't mean you have to do the same thing all the time, but now that they're not usually means they've taken a step back. And we shouldn't take a step back for the Lord. We should take a step forward for the Lord. And when the Lord wants you to stop doing one thing, it's probably to start doing something else, is what it is. So there's no retirement in this Christian life. There's no retirement. Now the job description changes, right? And as you get older, you don't have the same energy you once did, so maybe you're not doing all the same things that you once did, but there's no retirement for the Lord. There's always something to do for God. And there's always something that's needed for you to do for the Lord. And just because a person has to maybe step out of the limelight and step out of the visible job doesn't mean that there's not things equally important to do. And I'm fully aware of that. I'm fully aware that I have the most public position in the church, right? I'm the one who's usually standing up here and you're looking at me. I understand that, but that doesn't mean that this church can run without everybody else. And it certainly doesn't mean that this church can run without the prayers of the saints and people like yourselves that are praying and saying, Lord, bless our church. And that is equally as important as keeping things going for the Lord as me standing up here and preaching. And it might not seem like it, but it is. It is. And so there's some things where sometimes people step away and they fail the Lord sometimes, and we need to forget about that. We need to say, okay, Lord, forgive me. Lord, get me back on the right track. Why? Because we're pressing forward. We're pressing forward, and we're moving on. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to reach forth unto those things which are before, whatever the Lord has before us. And sometimes there's some great successes we have in this Christian life. And we can hang on those successes if we're not careful. We can talk about the good old days when we were seeing things happen, and then we get lazy and we don't continue to press forward. And so we need to do that. And Paul says, this one thing I do. There's more things that Paul does, but he at least does this one thing, and that's forget what's behind. And he has his eyes forward on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, I'm going forward for Christ. I'm going forward for what the Lord does. You know, the Lord changes things. He changes things. I don't like change. I just don't like change. I like to get into what I'm used to and what I'm comfortable with and just keep going. But the Lord doesn't do that. The Lord in our lives, He changes the seasons of our lives. And we were once in one place in our lives in health and kids and marriage and other things, and then the Lord changes those seasons on us. Right about the time when we're getting comfortable and we're thinking, okay, I finally have learned something, then it changes all over again, and I don't know what's going on again. And so the Lord does that. And the Lord does it for a couple of reasons. I think some of it's so that we just trust Him. We just trust Him. The Lord changes things and does things different. And Paul says, hey, those things in the past, I forget those things. I leave those things behind because I'm pressing forward. I'm going ahead. Look what he says in verse 14. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He presses toward the mark. What's the mark? Well, a mark is a goal. It's an aim. That's an old word. We don't use that word much anymore, but it's a mark. If you go out and do, you know, shooting practice or target practice, what are you doing? That's the mark. That's what you're aiming at. That's the goal. My pastor in New York used to say, a low aim never hit a high mark. A low aim never hit a high mark. What does that mean? Well, the mark should be high. It's the prize of the high calling. And so the mark in our lives should be high. It should be higher than we can attain unto in reality. It's higher than we can ever hit ourselves. That's why we need the Lord. But if we just have this low, mediocre aim, we're never going to hit the high mark of the calling of the Lord. Paul says, I press toward the mark. And you know what the mark is? The mark's heaven. We're going there someday. If you're saved and born again, you're going to heaven someday. And you're going to stand before the Lord someday. And that's the goal. That's the aim. The aim is heaven. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come and get us. That's the aim. That's the mark. And, man, we can get our eyes on a lot of things down here, but that shouldn't be the goal down here. It shouldn't be the goal. You know what down here should be? Down here should be the blessings that God gives, the doors that God opens for us. To live in this life while we're pressing towards the mark. That's what it should be. People get caught up in all the stuff down here. They get caught up in the job and the money and the status and this and that and the things and buying this and buying that. If the Lord gives you things in this earth, then praise the Lord, enjoy them. If the Lord gives you extra in this life, and boy, as Americans, God's given us some extra. But if we have some extras in this life, then praise God. But don't let all the stuff keep your eyes from being on the mark. Don't let your eyes slip down to all the stuff down here. We get our eyes down here and boy, this isn't right, and we wish this was like this and this other thing here, and boy, this could be better, and this is breaking down, and this isn't how I want it to be. and we get our eyes down here, and boy, we need to just keep our eyes on the mark. And I've been telling young people for years and years and years, listen, you know what, the best job, the best career, the best direction, the best focus that you could ever take, it's the doors that the Lord opens for you and what God wants you to do. That's the best thing you could ever do. Because you can have a lot of money and be miserable. You probably know some people like that. I mean, a lot of money is more than what you and I have, right? That's someone else has a little bit more money than us. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. And there's all kinds of scenarios and things like that. But people can have a lot of stuff and be pretty miserable. And I've seen some Christians go through this life with the hand of God on their life and a purpose and their life drawn out to just please the Lord. And they haven't had a lot. But boy, they've been happy and they've been peaceful and they've had joy in this life. And thank God for it. The best thing that we could do is to press towards a mark. Press toward the mark that God has for us in our lives. And that's what Paul says. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. One man put it this way. He said, if we press toward heaven and the Savior, when you get there, you might get a prize. You might get a prize. Why? Because he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, this prize, this thing that we're pressing towards, what God has for us in this life, it's a high calling. It's a high calling. That's what he says. He says, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The reason a lot of Christians won't give their lives to the Lord and serve the Lord and they get caught up in all the rest of the stuff is because they don't think it's a high calling. They think being promoted at the job is better than the high calling of God. They think the bank account is better than the high calling that God has for our lives. They think that being able to provide stuff and things and vacations and a good time and education for our children, they think that's a more of a high calling than to raise our kids for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's foolish, really. But it's a high calling that God's given us. Look in Hebrews chapter number 3. Hebrews chapter number 3. When my children were younger and young kids, you just have to take care of everything for them. They can't make any decisions for themselves. Not any wise ones anyway. And you're trying to just take care of them. And I used to think when my kids were little, and I think, okay, well, my job as a parent is to just keep them safe and protect them from the things of this world and make sure that their needs are met and point them to Christ and give them that. And then as my children get older and they start becoming more independent, you know how that goes, and they become more independent, and they start making some decisions, and all of a sudden you realize now things change. And as a parent, you're not just there to do those things, but you're there to help them learn how to make decisions, because you won't be able to make them all the time. And there's going to be times when they're away from you, and they're going to be making their own choices, and you want them to make wise choices. You want to make godly choices and spiritual choices. So then I started to figure out, all right, well, now I need to help them learn how to make decisions. And at this point, as a parent, realizing how short of a time we have them as children, is, all right, I need to prepare them to lean on God for everything. I'm just here as a short period of time to help them until they're able to be on their own and have a life lived for God, Lord willing, on their own. And they need to learn how to live with between them and God and to follow what God wants them to do. And it's why? Because I want them to follow after. I want them to go after the prize, because it's a high calling. It's a high calling of God. Hebrews chapter number 3, I believe that's where I said to go. Verse number 1, the Bible says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostles and high priests of our profession, Jesus Christ. It says, brethren, we're partakers of the heavenly calling. That's me and you. That's me and you as Christians. We're partakers of the heavenly calling. Look in 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse number 9. We'll start there. The Bible says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." The day of visitation. You know what this calling is? He's called you to do these things, and Paul says, "I beseech you to do these things and these good works, and to stand before the Gentiles and to proclaim the light of God." He's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know what that is? It's a high calling. It's a high calling. It sounds completely ridiculous that the Lord would give us his Holy Spirit and then rely on us to be representatives of himself. That sounds completely insane to me. And I say that with all due respect, Lord. But the Lord is, "You know what I'm going to do? My son is here." And of course, they rejected his son. We understand that. So that tells us all about man that we need to know. If God sends his own son and they reject him and his pureness and his perfectness and his compassion and his love and his pure mind and his perfect words, if God rejected, if man rejected God in the form of his son, Jesus Christ, then you and I don't have a chance. But the Lord says, "I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit and I'm going to go, and then you're going to take the mantle. And you're going to represent me and the light of my gospel." Paul says, "You're ambassadors for Christ. You are in Christ's stead with a job and a message. You are in Christ's stead to represent Christ. You're ambassadors for Christ." I look at that sometimes, and I look at what the Lord's asked me to do in my life as a Christian, and I say, "Lord, you've got to be kidding. You have to be joking that I'm supposed to be an ambassador for you to represent you in this world." It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense, yet that's what the Lord asks us to do. It's a high calling. It's a high calling to walk around this town and where you live and represent the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a high calling. It's a high calling to do that. And I say this often. I don't consider myself to be a spiritual person. Say, what do you mean a spiritual person? I know some people that they're always thinking about the Lord, and they always have the Lord first, and they're godly in everything that they do. And I struggle with that sometimes. I struggle with thinking and having God on the forefront of my mind. I think when I need to go here and do this thing and go in the store and get this thing, I want to go in there. I want to get that thing. I want to get out of there. And I want to go do the next thing that I need to get done. And I don't always have spiritual things on my mind. But every once in a while, this morning, I'll give you a little secret. This morning I'm preaching on the next list, right? It's patience. I'm preaching on patience. So yesterday I get through studying and get everything done, and I had to go back and return something at Home Depot for the church, and I wanted to pick up something else while I was there. So I go into Home Depot. There's hardly anybody in there, praise the Lord. And, you know, it's 5:30 or so. Go into Home Depot. I have one thing to return. I go up. All right, praise the Lord. There's no line. There's one guy, one woman. This will be pretty simple. I'll just go do this. I'll get there. I can go home. I can eat dinner with my family. This will be good. Then it begins. And so I stand there, and the person that's helping the other person, they're both having problems. They're having issues. I don't know what's going on. It's too far down there. I can't hear what's going on. And I'm thinking, now, this is a time when the Lord's like, you've just been studying all day. All right, you've been in the Word. We've been communing back and forth. I've done, the Lord's saying to me, I've done the best I can do with what you have to work with. And I've given you this information. Now, can you hold on to it for at least an hour after you walk out of the offices? And I'm standing there, and the Lord's just dealing with me, right? And you'll understand. I mean, when the Bible talks about patience, it's not just talking about, you know, how well we do when we're waiting, right? There's other things involved with that. But it's part of it. And so there I am. And I'm thinking, just keep it together. I mean, just keep it together. Why? Well, for my own sanity, that helps. But also, you know, every once in a while, I realize I'm an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, but I'm an ambassador for Faith Baptist Church. And if you're out and about doing what the Lord wants you to do, and you're giving out gospel tracts too, and you're inviting people to church, then maybe anybody that's around here that sees you and how you react to different things, they could walk through these doors at any time and be like, I know that guy. That's the guy that was flipping out because he had to wait like 12 minutes. Now, 12 minutes might not seem like a long time, but I realize that they've strategically put that bench there for a reason, because other people also have been waiting for a long time. And so I sit on that bench with my thing, and I'm just like, you know, cross my legs. No, I don't do that. I just say, Lord, I need to hold it together because I represent you, as sad as that is. But I represent you and to anyone else that I'm around. So eventually, I get up there. It takes us about 5 seconds for our transaction. She's like, oh, sorry about the wait. I'm sorry about that. I said, I didn't want to lie, you know. So you just walk that fine line. Hope you have a great day. Appreciate it. Thank you. And then I go get what I was going to get. And I go into the garden section to check out, and I didn't know if there's anybody in there, and there was a girl hiding in the little booth there in the garden section, and I saw, now I see you, you know? She's like, okay, so she comes over, and she's like, oh, these things never scan. Yeah, it's about right. Like, yeah, these things never scan, so hold on, let me get my phone out, and then I'm going to take a picture of it, and then I'm going to punch it in by hand. I'm like, okay. Like, I get it, Lord. Lord, I hear you! I hear you loud and clear, Lord. I hear you. And what do? You just put a smile on and say, I hope you have a great day. You know, let me give you a gospel track. Because what I want to do is be like, are you kidding me? You know? And just, that's right. I guess I need some more lessons, you know? But you can't do that. You can't do that. Why? Because it's a high calling. It's a high calling to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. You know what somebody will do? Not everybody's going to take a gospel track, but they'll take a gospel track for someone that's nice a lot sooner than they'll take a gospel track from a jerk. And that's just a little hint. I mean, I know most of you figured that out already, but that's just a little clue. When you walk up there and you say something like, things are going through my mind, you know, oh, sorry, thanks for your patience. Yes, because telling you what I really think right now would not get this done any faster, you know. You can't do that. You can't say that. You're a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, and most of the time it's not the person's fault anyway. And, man, people are going through stuff, and you don't know what people are going through, and we're a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Look in verse number 17. Let's start reading there. Paul says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. You know what we're called to do? We're called to preach the gospel. We're called to give the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what people need more than anything else? They need the Lord Jesus Christ. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. And they need the truth of the gospel. They need the assurance of salvation. They need the peace that God gives. Only God can change lives for forever and change them for the better. Only the Lord. And it's a high calling. It's a high calling to give the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know why people that get caught up in this social gospel, I know why, because it's less offensive. But I don't know why people would leave the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and preach some kind of social gospel to try to better everyone's lives if you're not giving them Jesus Christ. Making somebody more comfortable will only last for, what, 70, 80 years down here? Hopefully a little bit longer, right? But what? Not for eternity. Not for eternity. And why people would lower themselves to a social gospel, it's a high calling to give the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's something that you and I get to do. It's something that you and I get to tell people about. The glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, look in verse number 9. The Bible says, God is faithful by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. The fellowship, we've been called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a high calling to be called into the fellowship of his Son and to be called into the fellowship of one another and to speak the same thing. We're not all going to agree on the same things about everything, but we can agree on the gospel. We should agree on the gospel, and we should be able to go out and say, listen, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ changed my life, and let me tell you about it. And what a blessing it is. What a high calling. Look in Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter 4. There's a lot of things in this world that pay better than serving the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's a step down from the high calling of God that he's given us in our lives. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. It's a vocation, it's work. One man said it's not a vacation. It's a vocation. It's a work. It's a work for Christ, something to do for him. It's a labor of love and a work for Christ. It gives us purpose in this life. It gives us direction in this life. And listen, money comes and money goes, and promotion comes and promotion goes. And you like the feeling of you know, the job title for a while, but then you realize the rest of the things that it comes with, and you say, oh man. And there's the things are nice when they're brand new, but everything breaks down. And if it doesn't break down, if you keep it brand new, there's other things that come out newer and nicer, and you're like, well, I don't know, I kind of like that new thing. And the flesh is never satisfied. And different things happen in different stages and seasons of life, and your desires change and your goals change and the things you enjoy change and things keep changing, but one thing doesn't change is the high calling of God. And one thing that doesn't change is the peace of God when you serve Him and you set things up in this life. You set yourself up in this life to serve the Lord and do the best you can. It's a high calling to do a work for God. Look in 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse number 7, 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us, and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. We were called of God and saved by the Lord Jesus Christ and for his own purpose and his grace. And we're not supposed to be ashamed. We're not supposed to be ashamed of the Lord. To be able to go out there a lot of times we don't witness or we don't think the gospel is that important because we forget what the Lord's done for us. We forget, maybe you forget how the Lord changed your life. Or maybe if you were saved young, you forget what the Lord kept you from. And all the mess of this world. And I say, where in the world would I be without Christ? I don't know. I mean, it's hard to tell, right? Some people say, some of it's true. I think sometimes preachers say stuff for an effect. You know, if it wasn't for God, boy, I'd be in the ditch somewhere with the needle sticking out of my arm and I'd be this and that. Well, I don't know. I mean, there's no guarantee of that. Maybe. Maybe, but there's a lot of people in this world you run into, and they're not in that way. They're not saved, but they're not in that way. But what would I be doing without the Lord? What would I be doing if I just kept on the same path and the same mindset that I had when I graduated high school? And I was going to do this and go here and do this other thing and chase this other dream. What would I be doing right now? I don't know. I know I'd be pretty selfish. I know it'd be all about me first. I know, I don't know what'd be going on. It's hard to tell. But I know that whatever it would be, it'd be a mess compared to what the Lord's done in my life. And I know that I would have probably been in some of the mess of this world without the direction of God to say, stay away from that. Stay away from that influence. Don't do this other thing. And I don't know where I'd be. And you don't know where you'd be, but the Lord's kept you from a lot of junk. The Lord's kept you from a lot of the mess of this world. And thank God for it. It's a high calling to be able to represent Christ and give somebody Christ. And to say, listen, the Lord Jesus Christ is the best thing in this world, and he died to save you from a devil's hell. And it's not just an eternity in heaven or hell, but the life that he can give you on this side of eternity is way better than the life you can plan out and draw up for yourself. And Christians have a hard time believing it, but it's true. Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. Verse 28. Romans 8, 28. And verse 29. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. You're called to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now someday the Lord's going to come back and he's going to fix it all. Thank God for that. He's going to come back and he's going to fix it. He's going to fix everything that's wrong with me. Every shortcoming, everything that I can't get over, everything that I can't get through the thick skull of mine, you know, all of that. The Lord's going to come back and he's going to fix all that and give me a glorified body. But what we should be doing before then is getting as close to being conformed to the image of his Son as possible. That's the objective. The objective is to walk as close to God as possible, to please God with our lives as much as possible, so that that transformation isn't as dramatic. That's the idea. Is that that transformation isn't as dramatic as it once was. And it's a high calling. It's a high calling to be conformed to the image of His Son. And it's a high calling, and it's labor intensive. If you have as many things to overcome as I do, it's labor intensive. It's hard work. It's not sitting at a desk pushing buttons all day on a computer. No, to try to be conformed to God and to try to keep things in line and keep things in order, it's hard work. It's labor. It never ends. There's no time clock. Sometimes you can go to bed and you can fight and struggle and fight to be conformed to the image of His Son all day long. You go to bed and you're like, finally, I can go to sleep. Sometimes you can wake up with something to repent of. You're like, all I was doing was sleeping. I literally had no control over anything that was going on in my body. And you wake up and say, oh, Lord, I need to repent. I don't know what was going on there in the middle of the night. But that's just how sinful we are. And thank God that He is going to transform us one day completely. But we should be conformed to the image of His Son. And it's a high calling. It's a high calling. That's what I want my kids to know. That's what I want your kids to know if they're listening to me. Is it's a high calling to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the best calling. And to follow God, listen, I don't know how else to put it. He'll take care of you. He'll take care of you. And it feels like there's so much in this life that we need to do. There's so much that we need to take care of, and we need to figure out, and we need to direct, and we need to put all these things in motion. And boy, when you let God do it all, and when you let God point the ship and direct things and go in His way, that the stories are unbelievable. And Brother Brigham could get up here today, and we had a chance to talk a little bit last week or whatever week it was. Yeah, a week ago, and just talking about how the Lord kind of directed him and how he ended up in Japan and what God did for him, and say, how'd all that happen? Well, the Lord did it. The Lord had to do it. Now, when the Lord directed the boat, he had to row it. he had to do some work, just like you and I need to do. But the Lord does it, and the Lord takes care of things. And praise the Lord for His goodness and His faithfulness, but to serve Him is a high calling. Keep your eyes set on the prize, and keep it on the mark. Keep that mark high for the Lord that He has for your life. And let the Lord have His way and His will in your life. All right, let's go ahead and take a break this morning before the main service.